Would turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 119. I thought we'd dip in there again. I really love Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. Nearly every verse has some reference to the Word of God and the excellency of the Word of God and how we ought to apply it to our lives. But I've always thought it was so telling of how much God values His Word in that the longest chapter in the Bible, the one that has 176 verses that are numbered. You realize the original scriptures were not divided into chapters and they didn't have numbered verses, but it is the longest chapter in the Word of God, and it deals with the Word of God. God has exalted His own Word above His very own name. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 57. He says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words." I thought, what a magnificent statement. What an amazing statement that the psalmist says, God is my portion. He is the one that is my all. He satisfies every spiritual desire I have, and He provides every physical need that I have. The Lord is my portion. He's given me life and breath and all things. And then I thought, as a believer, think about how many things of this world we sometimes pitch our affections on. And we either want it or desire it. And here David says, the Lord is my portion. Everything else should be secondary. God should be first in your life, Ella. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord is my portion. The Christian's portion is not found among the pleasures of the world. In fact, you're going to find, as a believer, the more you allow your heart to be overtaken by the things of this world, the less satisfaction you are going to get from the world and from the Word of God. Because your heart's not right. It's set on other things. The Christian's true portion is the Lord. Jesus Christ satisfies every need we have. We need acceptance. Because we came into this world going the wrong way. In Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved. Because of the magnitude of our sins, we need forgiveness. And it's in Him, in His blood, we have forgiveness of sins. We need fellowship. We need to be able to talk to God and to listen to God. And in Christ, when we have Him as our portion, we have a connection. We have a union with God that allows us to draw near to Him, to spend time in the secret place of the Most High, rejoicing, fellowshipping, communing with the Almighty. It's all because the Lord is our portion. And He satisfies every need we have. There is not a choicer portion to be had than Christ. And all that we would learn this. Look, turn over to Psalm 16:5. There's a couple of verses that kind of comment on Psalm 119, verse 57. Psalm chapter 16, It says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Look at verse 8. All right, remember, the Lord is his portion. He's the one that maintains his inheritance, his lot, his possession. And as a result, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. When the Lord is your portion, you are in a position where you can receive counsel from him and understand him. Understand what he says in his word. This is the way, walk ye in it. You can listen, hearken, and obey, and know that you are going to be blessed by paying attention to what God has to say, what his counsel is. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He put God first. And I believe there's a portion of this that has messianic application, that actually Jesus Christ could be saying these words in his relationship to the Father. But he says in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. The Lord is my portion. I take counsel from him. He's given me peace and strength and joy in the night seasons. He's made my heart glad. I'm happy because my affections are centered upon God in Christ. Boy, isn't it a wonderful thing when your heart's glad? When you're satisfied with God and his grace and his portion, there's a joy that just bubbles up in your heart, that overflows. He says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's the promise of the resurrection of Christ right there. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. And you know, if the Lord is your portion, he determined that before the world began, and in time, he opened your eyes to the path of life. He's the one that showed you, personally, revealed to you, your need of the Savior. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Because the Lord is my portion, he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Have you ever had fullness of joy? Where you can't put any more joy in. It's just, you are just so overwhelmed that the Lord is your portion, that you're forgiven, that he hears your prayers, that you read his word, you sing his praises, you worship him in spirit and in truth, and your heart is filled with joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now that is an exposition of what it means to have the Lord as your portion. You realize you're going to be in his presence? We're in his presence right now, spiritually. But one day, we're going to be in his presence throughout all eternity. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to see all the magnificence, all the glory, all the honor, all the majesty of King Jesus. What an amazing sight that's going to be. Now, turn over with me to Psalm 73. Here's another comment. Now, a lot of people attribute this psalm to David, but it's a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 73. And he's lamenting early on in the psalm about the prosperity of the wicked. and the suffering of the righteous. You'll notice Psalm 73, it's a psalm of Asaph. Now, God had so thoroughly got a hold of him that it says in verse 17, up to this point, he's complaining throughout the psalm. And then in verse 17, he said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood I therein. Then I understand what the real portion of the wicked is. He was complaining that the wicked are prospering, the righteous are suffering. Why is this so? But by the time the Lord got a hold of him, notice what he says in verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Here is a man that was complaining, and yet God still got a hold of him. God's still holding on to him. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. When you're saved, God's your counselor. And if you'll listen, and you'll obey, and you'll walk in his ways, you will prevent so much heartache and disaster from coming into your life if you just hearken, if you just listen, and you just obey. It will save you so much trouble, and it'll bring you so much joy. But notice what he says in verse 25. I think it's so powerful. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now this is somebody whose portion is the Lord. He's basically saying, every bit of spiritual satisfaction that I have, it's all found in you. It's all found in my relationship to God. That is my real identity in Christ and my joy. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You think about this. What are a lot of men trusting in? The men of this world, they're trusting in themselves, in their possessions, their power, their prestige, their popularity. They're trusting in things that are so fleeting, that could come and go in a moment's notice. But this man said, the Lord is my portion forever. There is nothing that can take away your relationship with God. If you're a believer, if you're washed in the blood, if you're born of the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, you'll never be separated from God. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Again, the Lord is his portion. David testified of it. Asaph testified of it. And I wonder tonight, is the Lord your portion? Is he what satisfies your life? Are you resting in him? You see, there is not a choicer portion to be had than Jesus Christ. Our joy is not to be built upon our circumstances or our acquaintances. It's to be entirely bound up in Christ. He's He's what makes us worthy. When Christ is our all, what others do or may, or what others do or may say should not hinder or affect our joy at all. If He is our portion, what do we need the world's approval? Do we need money and land and power and presence? No, we've got the Lord. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what others do and what they say should not affect our joy at all. I remember when I was first saved, and I would see people, I couldn't figure it out. Why are they quitting? Why are they, you know, just flaking out? Because I thought, when the Lord saved me, I thought, there is nothing greater in all the world than knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven, that they're washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you are right with God. And it should be our greatest joy to serve Him. But I determined way, way, way back then, 41 years ago, that by the grace of God, I would never allow someone else's attitudes or actions determine how I'm going to serve the Lord. I want to be devoted. I want to live in such a way that others can observe that He is my portion and I am completely, entirely satisfied with Him. That I don't need anything else but Christ. In the Lord we have righteousness and strength. He is altogether lovely. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the most majestic, loving, gracious, powerful, holy individual in all the world. And He's my portion. How glorious is that? How wonderful it is to know and commune with the living God and to have Him as our portion. No wonder Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am that I am in therewith to be content. That's key. The Lord was his portion. He learned no matter where he was, no matter what condition. In the Philippian jail, just got a beating that would probably kill most men. His back and with open wounds. No doubt rats and vermin are all around that dark prison. And he's able to sing praises. Because the Lord, he's trusting God. He learned to be content there. Even when he was in bonds, in whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned therewith to be content. He experienced the complete satisfaction of knowing Christ in a real way. Not just saying that, yeah, I know the Lord. He lived in the presence of the Lord. He experienced the love of God and the presence of God. Thomas LeBlanc said this, he is an exceedingly covetous fellow to whom God is not sufficient. And he is an exceeding fool to whom the world is sufficient. For God is an inexhaustible treasury of all riches, sufficing innumerable men, while the world has mere trifles and fascinations to offer and leads the soul into deep and sorrowful poverty. In light of this verse, the Lord is my portion. And I love what the result of that is. I have said I would keep thy words. You know, when the Lord is your all, His word, it takes precedent over everything. I have said I would keep thy words. That's a resolution. He makes resolutions all the way through the book of Psalms. We're coming up on New Year's. A lot of people make resolutions, and people say, I don't believe in making resolutions. It's biblical. It's biblical. You ought to read the life of Jonathan Edwards and the resolutions that he made and that he thought about every day. You say, well, I can't keep them. No, not in yourself you can't. Here's my thing with resolution. We ought to be resolved in our desire to serve God. We ought to want to improve, to grow, to learn, to be more in love with our Lord. And I don't think there's anything wrong. What a resolution does is it puts good pressure on you. Because you're saying aloud, you're giving voice to a desire of your heart. I resolve to read my Bible through this year. Oh, can you do that? Huh? I think I told, was it Emma or Adelaide? I just finished my New Testament for the 68th time. I keep track in my Bible. You say, well, you're sloughing off. You've been saved 41 years. You only read... Now, I haven't read the Old Testament that many times. But I've read my New... I usually, here lately, I try to read the New Testament through 3 times a year. And you can do it if you resolve. What's my mantra? Who said that? You know, I love it when people pay attention. Now, I've been saying BBB for 10 years. And Joe just answered that just like that. BBB, what's it mean? Bible before breakfast. Resolve to read the Word of God before everything else in the day. Even if it's just a portion. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight. Who or what is your portion? And are you committed to keeping God's Word? If He's your portion, it ought to be your resolve to keep His Word. Now, if your portion is anything other than the Lord, you need to rip whatever idols you have in your heart. And we got them. Covetousness is idolatry. And don't tell me that you don't have any covetousness in you, because then you'd be breaking another commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Out of all the Ten Commandments, you remember what after, when that rich young ruler said, all these I've kept from my youth up. And what did Jesus say? Sell everything you have, come and follow me. The one thing he didn't mention was covetousness. We all got it. Rip the idols from your heart. You know, this verse is a great way to battle the temptations and the devices of Satan. When Satan would tempt you to covet by saying, Well, look at those people, Tom. Won't you just take a look at them? They got everything. They got brand new car, huge, nice house. Look at all the things that they have. And here you are, living on Buffalo Creek Road. What do you got in terms of this world's goods? I'll tell you, I've got more than I deserve. I can tell you that. I have food and raiment. The Bible says we're to be content with that. But I got way beyond that. My furnace kicks on when it gets cold. In the summertime, my air conditioning kicks on. And let me tell you something. That is a blessing. Especially when you have to live without it for a little bit. Makes you realize what a blessing that is. I have so much more than I'm worthy of. And it's all because of God. All because of His grace. So when He says, you don't have much, we can say, oh, you're wrong. The Lord is my portion. I have something far more valuable than what you can hold in your hands. I have an eternal inheritance. I am a joint heir with Christ and an heir of God. When we are maligned by the world, we can say, the Lord is my portion. And David said, I will keep thy words. There is no better resolution we can make than to say that we will resolve to keep the Lord's word. If He's our portion, let that be our desire. That's it. Dipping into Psalm 119. Just one verse. Next week we'll probably start on some new adventure. Some new series.